Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, my favorite time each week. Hopefully the same for you. Today's title, Chronic Infections of Unknown Origin and What to Do About It. That is, chronic infections of unknown origin and what to do about it. Maybe it's not you, but listen anyway, because you never know. And if it is you, boy, is this show up your alley, because I have a very good sense of what you've been through. As always, understanding is the key, not running around like a chicken without a head, afraid of everything that goes bump in the dark. Knowledge, my friends, get the knowledge. It's not that hard. Have you ever been diagnosed by anybody with some form of a microbe? Now, microbes spin and span the pendulum from prions to nanobacteria all the way up to big fat parasites who are as, well, the tapeworm is what, 30 feet long sometimes? Microbes, unicellular, multicellular, and not cellular at all, as in those little retroviruses. Microbes, you can't see them, but they know where they are, and they can see you. And we've got a long history behind the history of trying to figure out what to do about what you can't see. Back before the microscope, when we couldn't see them, we still knew they were there. Chinese history, Chinese medicine, Egyptian medicine. Everybody knew along the way that if you kissed the wrong person or someone coughed in your face, what they had, you got. So we observed this. Empirically derived notions, meaning you see it and common sense tells you something's moving across person to person. So we knew they were there, and we even had concepts. I mean, fascinating in the day and age of all this debate about vaccine, were the Chinese, in response to smallpox, taking the crusts from smallpox victims. I don't mean nursemaids to the cow. I'm not talking cowpox. They were taking the crust to dead people's smallpox, grinding them up into powder, and then snorting them. That's genius. That's where vaccinations really began. Take some variant of the microbe, put it into your body, cripple it, and then let your immune system go back at it. I mean, microbial history is endlessly fascinating. Most of us have been suckered into the germ theory. Now, what do I mean by the germ theory? And we're going to get today, over the next 55 minutes, into how the germ theory is morphing into other concepts. As always, I'm going to ask you to hybridize your understanding of what that darn microbe is and what to do about it. You got to come at it from different angles. But the history of medicine, at least the last 300 years or so, teaches us that the germ theory prevails. Now, this germ theory, go to picture number 3. If you're new to the website or if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc with 2 T's. Go to picture number 3, today's show. What is it? Show 230 what? 232. Show 232. What is germ theory? Picture number 3. Microbes cause illness. I even did something better. Go to the top of that page. Click to view slides on germ theory. So click this on germ theory. Click that link at the top. Go to the bottom. Look at the slides. And now you can go to slide one, slide two. Look at slide number two. Microbes cause illness. When you go to Kaiser, when you go to infectious disease, when you go to anybody today in the Western field of medicine, they are giving you the Pasteurian model. Whether it's the flu you got last week, the flu you're going to get this winter, hepatitis C, AIDS, Lyme disease, you name it. Something from the outside got in, and these microbes cause illness. And these microbes very often can spread. And a specific microbe exists for each illness, which always invokes the same illness. That's kind of the basics of the germ theory. Now, if you go back to the history of it, well, look at that. That's this slide three. They're going to go all the way back to 500 BC. It wasn't until the bubonic plague hit the Middle Ages that the idea that diseases could be transmitted from one person to another was thought up. So we're going back to 500 BC, and it really isn't until the bubonic plague in the 14, 1300s that we're really understanding that you can transmit a disease from one person to another, but we don't know what a disease is. We only know that something happens. And if you continue, you watch this yourself. You scroll along. It talks about all sorts of names that are long lost to history that are part of a consortium of very skilled, very intelligent, very clinically experienced doctors, from Pasteur to Robert Koch, a whole slew of microbiologists who gave their life to understanding the germ theory of disease. And I'll let you look into that yourself later on today. But the exciting point to this show, I mean, most people are acquainted with the fact that germs cause disease, but what you don't know when you go to picture four, picture number four. Now, the guy on the right, maybe some of you know, that's Louis Pasteur. But the guy on the left, I'm going to ruin his pronunciation. Antoine Bechamp, B-E-C-H-A-M-P. A fellow Frenchman, equally credentialed, credited with evolving a perception of this germ theory that was very different than Pasteur, that competed with Pasteur, that argued, and that some say, well, we know the story, at the end of his life, Pasteur relented and agreed that Antoine was correct. Go to picture number five. Picture number six. Antoine or Pasteur, a lost chapter in the history of biology. Great stuff. Where is that today, the medical model? You're not going to find it. You're going to find an endless amount of money invested into pharmaceuticals, particularly vaccines in this case, to tell you that we have to kill the germ. But way back when, men of equal stature, equal skill, equal financing, had very different perceptions. This is so important today. And, you know, the real test, you know, we can all sit back and enjoy a show. The real test is when you have night sweats, you can't remember your name, you have no energy, your income is imperiled, you've got sores on your body. You've got all sorts of weird symptoms that are debilitating you. And you have the entire weight of a Western model telling you that Pasteur is right and that we've got to find this thing. And once we find it, we've got to kill it. That's when the rubber hits the road. That's why I talk the way I talk. Because I know that lots of people choke in the clutch. And that can be lethal. The number of people I have seen over 20-something years now that come in with 15 feet of lab tests and data and biographies and symptomology, and then want to sit down with 15 hours of biography about how much they've suffered. The number of people I've seen, unbelievable. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And no one can find out what it is. If you listen to my show today, this show will change your life if you can just take it in. Are you ready to have that moment of enlightenment? And as you know, I never want to make this show some sort of a rah-rah, a bunch of hippies in a park just rah-rahing about those healing energies that come from the atmosphere. I don't like to do that. I like to show you that men of science competed in another day and age often with the men of science that prevailed, and their works, like Antoine, just gather dust, and that they need resurrection. Generally, your holistic models were founded by scientists, not nutritionists, not acupuncturists, not chiropractors. Again, not knocking anybody. But I harp on the science thing because our culture understands that scientists have the eminent view of reality. That's the language of Orange County. What does the scientist say? That's the language of the Western world. The Chinese and the Indians, who birthed these wonderful traditions, have the unfortunate biasness now in their own countries, the very progenitors of holistic traditions, that science reigns supreme. So I like to talk science. And here's this gentleman back competing with Pasteur. Metchnikov was another one. And today we have doctors that are talking about the germ theory and giving it enormous challenge. So let's get into the specifics of this. Go to picture 7. I am afraid to say this guy's last name because I know I'm going to hack it. So I'll just call him Antoine. Picture number 7, 1816 to 1908, lived to 92. Germs are born in us. And you see, this is the kind of thing that turns classically trained microbiologists upside down and inside out. Germs are born in us. It tends to make you think that they're saying all germs are born in us. Of course, that is not the case. Father of pleomorphism. This is slide number 7, picture number 7 on the website. Father of pleomorphism. That meant that all these germs change shape. They change places. They're like ghosts. They're polymorphously perverse. It means that when you're looking for Lyme disease, when you're looking for Epstein-Barr, when you're looking for Syndrome X, when you're looking for chlamydia, when you're looking for Kuru, when you're looking for an infinite number of microbes that we think you have, but we can't be sure you have it, but we've tested, but we've searched, so on and so forth, and in the end, we come up with nothing. Nothing definitive. That's the classic trait of lots of bugs. The bug that you're looking for may not be there right now. It may be there tomorrow, and then when you look for it, it may be gone. It may be in your blood. It may be inside your cell. It may be in between your cells. We know bugs have intelligences, but one thing that Antoine was saying a long, long time ago is that they change form. And this confounds diagnosis. And this makes diagnosis very murky. Now here's the point. I want you to catch the subtlety. The murkiness of diagnosing.